On April 11th, just about 2 weeks ago, Father Emil Kapan was awarded posthumously the Medal of Honor by President Obama. Father Emil had served as an army chaplain during the Korean conflict. He was a priest of Wichita, Kansas, and then served during World War II times. Then, once the Korean War came about, he re-enlisted. So he was there on the front lines. On November the 1st, 1950, he and the 3rd Cavalry were stationed near the little village of Kapwan. And there, they did not know that in the mountainsides, there were over 20,000 Chinese soldiers. Headquarters was oblivious. They said, "There are no Chinese around." Well, he said four masses, being November 1st, All Saints' Day, but then in the evening of November 2nd, All Souls' Day, literally all hell broke loose. All these Chinese soldiers came towards them in battle. The 3,000-member unit of the 3rd Cavalry was being overwhelmed. Now, the Chinese had no regard for life. The first wave had no weapons. Their duty was to just crush the barbed wire and lay on top of it. And the second wave had no weapons. Their duty was to detonate landmines and so on. So once all that was taken care of, the third wave had the weapons. Well, one can obviously think, 20,000 versus 3,000 with such a mentality. Well, eventually the 3rd Cavalry was being overwhelmed in this. But Father Kapwan, nevertheless, continued to be the chaplain. He continued going from foxhole to foxhole, whether hearing confessions, administering the last rites, giving a word of encouragement, or even trying to help with medical care. Eventually, the main group retreated, but he stayed with the soldiers who were wounded and left behind. There were about 50 of them that were rounded up and captured by the Chinese communists. So as they were waiting, he noticed that there was this Chinese communist soldier standing over an American GI, Sergeant Herb Miller, who had been wounded. And the soldier was just going to kill him. After all, why worry about a wounded man? Father Kapwan went over, brushed the gun away, picked up Sergeant Miller and said, "Come, I'll help you," and carried him piggyback to the rest. Well, with that, they started their death march, so moving up north to North Korea, right near the Manchurian border today. There they found themselves on this awful march. Little food, little water. If the wounded couldn't move, they'd be shot. Some started to weaken, and one can imagine going through that, especially with the cold at night, little rations, and some didn't want to carry the wounded anymore. But Father Kapwan encouraged them, saying, "You have to help." And he continued on his own back to carry Sergeant Miller. Eventually, they come to the camp. And again, like hell on earth, without question, their meals were like 300 calories a day, some cracked corn, even birdseed, and water, which hopefully they could boil so they wouldn't die of some kind of poisoning. Well, with that, Father Emil knew he had to provide food. So he and a couple of others would sneak out, and they'd go to the guards' tents or the storage rooms, take their food. They'd even sneak out into the fields where the farms were and try to just scavenge whatever leftover food there was or even firewood. Once a soldier asked him, "Well, Father, isn't that stealing?" He said, "Well, stealing or starvation, the answer is rather obvious. This is not a sin." Moreover, he tried to keep the spirit alive as best he could. Given those conditions, one can imagine it's easy to give up hope. So when it came time to digging latrines, some didn't want to do it. Father Emil was the first one to volunteer. Or he had a contest of picking lice off the wounded soldiers, see who could get the most lice. Otherwise, those wounded soldiers would die of a lice infestation. He also tried to just keep the spirit alive by being the priest, going to visit 200 soldiers a day at least, to just ask, Do you want to say a prayer? Didn't matter what religion they belonged to. Eventually, he had a daily rosary group, and that included not just Catholics, Protestants, even Jews, who will attest to that to this very day. He also tried to lead services as best he could and to administer the last rites. He encouraged them to sing at times, just to lift spirits, whether it was America the Beautiful or some other patriotic song. But nevertheless, he never stopped being a priest. Sometimes he was heckled because the Chinese guards knew what an impact he had upon the soldiers. For instance, one of the soldiers just came up to him and said, "Where's your God now?" And Father Emile simply said, "He's with me." Or one of the soldiers came up and said, "Instead of giving thanks to your God for bread, you should give thanks to Chairman Mao." And Father Emile simply said, "Well, someone's a lousy baker." So there you have it, the spirit. But eventually his own health started to decline. And by May of 1951, he was very sick. The Chinese guards decided to take him to the hospital, which was better known as the death house. The soldiers were crying, feeling very sad that their beloved priest, no matter what religion they were, their beloved priest was going to die. But he said this, "You are sorry for me. I am going to be with Jesus Christ. Don't be sorry. And that is what I've worked for all my life. You should be happy for me. I'm going where I've always wanted to go. And when I get up there, I'll say a prayer for all of you." He died on May 23rd, 1951. Well, my brothers and sisters, I bring this story to your attention. Maybe you saw a brief news clip on the evening news or maybe a little article in the paper. But so oftentimes we don't hear enough good stories about Catholic priests these days. But also, if we take our gospel passage today, what better story could reflect the teaching of our Lord? Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus loved us with a faithful, self-sacrificing love. Isn't that the love that Father Emile had? Jesus was willing to lay down his life for others. Isn't that what Father Emile had? Jesus embraced his cross. Did not Father Emile do so? And in the end, Jesus gave glory to the Father. The Father who loved so much, he gave his Son. Did not Father Emile do that? So the challenge is for us, could we, by God's grace, love that way? We always talk about love. We hear it enough. But could we love that way in those circumstances? Now, we might not ever face those physical circumstances, but what about the spiritual circumstances? Sometimes I think we're like in that Korean prison camp. Now, I remember a few years ago, this was back at the high school, a parishioner came up to me after Mass and he said, "Father, you're always talking and preaching like we're at war. You should be saying positive things." And I said, "Well, aren't we? Look at the news, how our church is attacked just for principles of the sanctity of human life or the sanctity of marriage." And my brothers and sisters, we have to realize that. We live in a secular, godless society overall. Yes, we say we're Christians, but is our country really Christian? So we're in a fight. But we're in a fight where we're called to battle with love. But I'll give you a couple of recent examples. For instance, this was in the Washington Times, but sometime recently, the U.S. Army Reserve Equal Opportunity Group had some kind of briefing on extremism. And you know what the different organizations were classified as extremist? Well, the Ku Klux Klan, Al-Qaeda, Evangelical Christianity, Catholicism, and Islamophobia. And isn't it interesting that the same administration that governs all these things has said that we aren't allowed to talk about jihad or about any kind of Islamic terrorism. No. Take those words away. But Catholicism, or evangelical Christianity, seems to be extremist. Or a parishioner came up to me a few weeks ago, and he said that for the intelligence service group that he works for, they were going to have a special day. And the day was to celebrate lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender employees. And you could get off work being a government employee doing this. So in a time of sequestration, this is what our tax dollars pay for. And you could sign up as one of those individuals or sign up as an ally. Well, if you don't sign up as an ally, what does that make you? Doesn't it make you the enemy? That's what we're living in. But how do we fight it? We fight it with love. But that's not just namby-pamby love. That's love that professes truth, faithful love. So we aren't going to give in to principles of truth, the sanctity of life, from conception to natural death. We aren't going to give in to anything but marriage being between a man and a woman. Those are truths. And I'm willing to die for those truths, quite frankly. I really am not concerned what the Supreme Court legislates or what some other group legislates and so on. Yes, I am concerned. But overall, it's not going to change my beliefs. And it can't change yours. You have to believe. If you love Jesus, you have to believe in that same truth. But then we have to enact it, because it can't just be words. That's the thing. We're going to lose the battle if it's just words. It has to be enacted. So it's that self-sacrificing love. This is why our church, since the very beginning, has had hospitals, orphanages, and schools to care for anyone. Catholic hospitals in New York City take care of more patients dying from AIDS than any other government-funded hospital. This is our act of love. But you have to ask yourself, what if a young woman came up to you and said, I made a mistake, I'm going to have a child, and I have nowhere to go? What would you do? Would you say, I'll take care of you? I'll help you find the medical care. We'll find a home for the baby if need be. That's what Mother Teresa would do. But would you all do that? I've known families that have. I know a family whose daughter had a friend at college, was in that situation. Her parents kicked her out. But this other family took her in. There's the love of Christ. Or what if you have an elderly relative or someone who might be disabled, sick, maybe even terminally sick? Would you welcome that person into your home, or just immediately cast them off into some institution? Would you make the sacrifice of maybe making a room like a little hospital or little hospital room to give them comfort, or rescheduling events? That's Christian love. Isn't that what we're called to do? Or for you who are parents especially, are you really concerned about making your home like a little church where you pray with your children, share the meal with them like a sacred act, where you really help them with their religious education, where you make sure they go to Mass? Even if they're on some little travel, soccer routine, whatever, you go to Mass. I know families that do that. They don't make excuses. They live it. Despite all the pressures of this world, they do it. If you're a young person, are you willing to say, no, I'm not going to give in to the peer pressure and smoke the pot or do other drugs or have the sex or have the alcohol because I love God and I love myself. I'm made in God's image and likeness, and I'm not going to let someone else make a slave of me. That's Christian love. But that love penetrates the darkness. That love gives us freedom. Father Emile had freedom. Those communists didn't win. He had freedom. Yes, he was incarcerated in an awful, hellish condition, but he had freedom. And that's what they hated. So must we. Moreover, when we have such love, that faithful, self-sacrificing love, that's when, like we hear in Acts of the Apostles, we open the door of faith to others. Someone else may well say, I want to have what you have. I want to believe in the God you believe in. Well, my brothers and sisters, there's the challenge. Father Emil Capuan received the Medal of Honor. More importantly, he's recognized as a servant of God, which is like that first little step on the process of canonization. He said, Christ's work testified to what he was. Our works will testify to what we are. In order to win the crown of heavenly glory, the saints were expected first to carry a heavy cross in life. But that's the love that gives glory to God. May God bless you.